Amen. It feels good in here. Hallelujah. Let's go to 1 John. 1 John in the back of the book. How y'all doing tonight? Oh, man, this realm, this creative realm is just opening more and more and more every day. Amen. We had an awesome time in here Tuesday. It just exploded. Oh, yeah, yesterday. One of them days. Had an awesome time yesterday morning. Had an awesome time yesterday in prayer. Had an awesome time this morning. Amen. It's just opening, and it's always open. We just have to prepare ourselves for it. We just have to release our faith into it, and we have to understand that in that creative realm, in that realm that we perimulate with the Father, we have to understand that we can't step out in it in the soul realm. We have to allow the soul and the flesh to be dethroned in the areas of the different kingdom, in the kingdom of God. We got to understand going into the Jordan River and just releasing and dethroning the soul and dethroning the flesh and releasing into the lily's grace and just being able to quiet down the soul of the flesh and quiet down the mind of the flesh and begin to quiet down and to shut down and take control of the emotions and release the emotions unto the Lord. That way, when we do release into the Father, when He eradicates us with His love and cast out all that fear and cast out all that trauma and cast out all that and just delivers us from everything that we was wounded from and every curse word and every generational disease that has passed down to us, when He begins to cut them cords and deliver us from that orphan spirit and raises us and releases that boldness and that confidence, and we rise up as sons and daughters in the joint heirship that we was created to be. It's in that joint heirship when that life and the light of the Father begins to release on the inside of us. When it begins to release, it begins to shake. It begins to release an energy and a light and a grace on the inside of us that catapults us into the omnipresence of the Father. He begins to take us out like He did John. Amen. And in John, it's awesome. John, even in the Gospel of John in chapter 1, he begins to say, I came to bear witness of the light that was coming. He says, I am not the light, but he said that he was overshadowed of the light, because if you're going to bear witness of the light that was coming and he was not yet born again, that means he was overshadowed by that light. And whenever he walked on the road, he was a light like a city on a hill, releasing salvation and telling everybody to repent of their sins, telling everybody to turn from their wicked ways, telling everybody that there is a light that's coming, the Son of God that everybody has been prophesying from. He said that He is coming and we have to prepare ourselves, and I want to baptize you, and I want you to repent from your wicked ways. I want you to repent from the way of life that you're living and understand that it's not about you. And so He began to talk about the light. He began to talk about the life, and that life was the light of men, and we have that light on the inside of us. We was raised from the dead. We was born again by that resurrection power. We was born again by that, when that resurrection life released on the inside of us, and that fountain of life that is actually a fountain of light. Amen. Because He says in man was life, and that life was the light of man. So when we understand that the fountain on the inside of us, when it begins to erupt, it's actually light springing forth, lighting the lampstand, the seven torches on the inside of us, bringing light and bringing understanding to the eyes of our hearts so that we can know the mysteries and the secrets of the kingdom of God. Amen. So that we can understand who we are. Amen. And so when that light begins to burn brighter and burn brighter, and 1 John says when we get into the light of the Father and He begins to release that light, see, light is fire. Also, fire releases light, and when light gets so bright, because God made the sun and the sun is light, if you draw closer and closer to that sun, it's going to burn you like fire would burn you if you were to step into it. And so as I was a kid, I used to I'm going to tell on myself now. Amen. When I was a kid, I used to take a magnifying glass. Amen. And I used to find the sun. And we used to, me and my cousins used to get around with this magnifying glass in the middle of the day and find the sun. And we used to burn slugs that was walking on the concrete and just watching them melt. I know that's bad, but it was like bugs. Any bugs. But see, that's what, when we get up underneath the magnifying glass of the Father, when we release, y'all are distracted now. Y'all got that image. I mean, have y'all ever burnt? I mean, we used to start fires with magnifying glass. We used to set a piece of paper or piles of paper on the concrete and find the sun and get the magnifying glass and just sit there and used to count down how long it would take before that fire started burning. And then that light would increase and multiply. And as it penetrates that paper more and more and more and more, it releases the fire and that burns up. And that's what happens when we understand, when we begin to release into the love of the Father and the Father of lights. He releases, the Father of light passes down every good and perfect gift unto his sons and daughters who walk in faith, who will release by faith into his presence. Amen. And so it says in 1 John also, let's look at it. 1 John, I'm in gospel. Let's go to the 1 John. It says in chapter 3, in verse 3 or verse 2, it says, "Beloved, now we are children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. What we know that when he is revealed, we shall be just like him. For we shall see him as he is, and everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure." So when we begin to release into the love of the Father, God is light too. And I know it's joyous, and I know it's joyful, and it's loving, and God the Father just begins to shake and line up your emotions, and everything begins to line up in his presence. But then there comes a time to where he raises you up as sons and daughters, and you begin to walk with boldness and confidence because things are being dethroned from your soul and your flesh. And then that light comes. Amen. The baptism of fire, the light begins to shine upon, and he begins to open up your heart, and he begins to show you some things that are not lining up with his characteristic. And when he does that, that just means that you're in alignment, you're in a place of authority to where you can speak against that thing. So because you can be just like him, that's how he purifies underneath the light. And when you see it, you just release it unto him, and you can see that thing just go up in flames. Just like if you was releasing the sun with that magnifying glass on that paper, you would actually see it because his light is bright like that. Amen. When he begins to burn up the malfunctions of your soul and the things, the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life, John says, when those things begin to fall away, now when you're coming into his light, he releases you into the omnipresence. He takes you out into the future. He takes you out into your book that he has prepared for you. In Psalms 139, and he begins to show you what he had planned from you since the beginning, before you even stepped one foot upon this earth. And so when he does that, now, you come to a place, and pastor's been teaching us, when we begin to primulate out into the future of things to come, the things that he has prepared for us, our destination, we live our perfect will out in him, and he begins to release faith, and he begins to release love, and he begins to release light on the inside of us to prepare us for that thing whenever it gets here. Amen. And so that we're not sidetracked. But also, so too, whenever you step down into your promised land, after you done been into the Father of love and in the Father of lights, because that light comes after that light disposes darkness, and that light lights up the lampstand, the seven torches on the inside of you, and releases you into the fullness of the operation of the Holy Spirit, which is the seven eyes or the seven spirits of the Lord, the seven horns, that kingly and that priestly anointing, the fullness of that operation. Amen. And so when he does that, see, we all want to see God the Father operate and walking on this earth. We all want to see signs, miracles, and wonders. We all want to see hundreds of thousands of salvations. We all want to see deliverances. We all want to see healings. We all want to see that. And in this Constitution right here, Holy Spirit has showed Pastor the seven pillars of the apostolic church. Amen. The apostolic government. And it's salvation, it's worship, it's healing, it's deliverance, it's discipleship, it's worship, it's benevolence. And benevolence is what I want to talk to you about today, because benevolence, people look at benevolence as wealth, which it is wealth, because it's a kingly pillar. A kingly pillar has wealth, and a kingly pillar has love too. And John talks about this love, and the only time and for us to release fully into the pillar of benevolence, to see that thing fully release, then we have to come into that kingly anointing, which is the love of the Father. And if you see the sons in the book of Acts walking out with hundredfold signs, miracles, and wonders, you can see what they were doing. They were operating. They were living together. All 12 disciples was living together in the upper room. They was constantly in prayer. They was constantly in unity. They was constantly in oneness and one accord. They was in perfect harmony with one another, and they was focused on the Father. The book says that they actually lived. That's where they stayed, was the upper room. So the disciples actually lived together. They broke bread together. They prayed together, they fasted together, and they all knew what the Father was doing. And they was all in one accord, fasting and praying. So they was caught up constantly in the love of the Father. And so the love of the Father, whenever they begin to walk on this earth, that's why Peter began to carry the atmosphere of the Father. And that's why everywhere he walked, people were getting healed. The people was carrying out beds, and people with sickness was coming out, and they was just getting healed with that atmosphere. And if we want to see the Father move like he did back then we have to come into that one accord. We have to fully surrender into the love of the Father and the light of the Father, and let him deal with all the darkness on the inside of us, all the emotions on the inside of us. That way anything that comes at us will not penetrate us. It will just bounce off of us. Amen. Because when we're operating in the fullness of that anointing, we have to be prepared, because the enemy is going to come at us, and he's going to sidetrack us, and he's going to try to do anything that he can to destroy the walk of our life. Amen. And so if we're not operating in the fullness of the love of the Father, then we're going to be in trouble. Amen. And so let's go to 1 John 4 now. I want to show you something. In verse 7, it says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God." I mentioned a couple of weeks ago that James chapter 2 verse 8 talks about the kingly law. And the kingly law is for the kings that are walking around in this earth. They are held accountable to walking in that godly kind of love, the Father's love. That agapeo love is what this is talking about. And John is talking about this kingly love right here. James says there's a law, and John is describing what this love is that we need to abide by when we're saying that we are kings and that we're full-age sons. Amen. And so this love right here, it says, "And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God." This agape love is not just agape. There's another couple letters added to it, and it's pronounced agapeo, and it's an affection. It's a desire to do good. It's a social kind of love. It's a love that you have an affection for your brothers and your sisters. It's a love, John describes, that if you see somebody that needs something and you have that, you're going to give, not expecting anything in return. And I described it last Wednesday when talking about loving your enemy, and about going up into the Father and releasing your enemy, releasing that, and the God will reward you by delivering you both and them of the demonic behind that activity. Amen. And he says right here, that we have to be social, that we have to be, we have to have love feasts, we have to break bread, we have to unite, we have to come together, we have to call each other, we have to talk to one another, we have to be in one accord, just like the book of Acts. We got to pray, we got to fast together, and we're doing good. And I'm just encouraging you to continue doing what you're doing. Come to the breakfast on Sunday. Invite a brother and a sister on dinner after Sunday. Get to know them. See, it's not enough just talking to one another here in service. We have to break bread together outside of these walls to really understand the characteristic, to really understand the gift in somebody, to really understand the pain that they might be carrying, so that we can be somebody who can come in beside them and see the healing of the Lord release into their lives. Amen. And so, and it says here, everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. This born of God is not talking about salvation. It's not saying that we've been born again. This born is talking about Father God being your spiritual father, releasing into his presence every single day and allowing him to convert you. Amen. And bringing you up into a joint heir, full age son and daughter. And so we have to come into the fullness of that joint heirship. And what does that look like? It means that orphan spirit has to completely be uprooted from our lives. That our characteristic has to align up and look just like God the Father himself. It means that everybody has their own personality, but your personality has to line up as a good and perfect gift. Amen. I mean, you have to walk in the personality of the love of the Father and release compassion and sit next to somebody and be in prayer for somebody all the time and just having the knowing that if somebody is going through difficult times, you know about it because you're connected to the Spirit, you're connected to this body, you're in one accord, we're all in harmony. And when we start beginning to do that, then God the Father is going to begin to release that fountain of light, that benevolence on the inside of us, because this godly kind of love that it's talking about, it actually describes this love as benevolence. Amen. And so when we was in prayer yesterday morning, when we was in the premillation mode, see, Pastor released and he began to release and drop in the crown upon this church. And we know that the seven pillars is just a symbol of the crown. And so whenever we was talking and looking and premillating into the seven pillars of God, I seen where I normally step down in the sanctuary, in the spirit, I seen a pillar be rooted in this sanctuary right here. And when it was rooted, it erupted like a fountain. It erupted, and the love of the Father began, that honey liquid love began to start overflowing out of that pillar. And I was feeling it just saturated me with the love of the Father. And I just seen it just filling the sanctuary up. I seen it filling this altar up, and it just shifted the atmosphere just like that. See, we can operate in the other six pillars. We can operate in just a priestly anointing with signs, miracles, and wonders every once in a while by faith. We can operate in salvation, seeing a salvation here and seeing a salvation there, or raising up sons and daughters one at a time in discipleship. But if you want to see the multiplication, if you want to see the fullness of the Father's ministry walking around in this earth, then we have to become that fountain, that benevolence fountain, releasing the Father's love. And with that Father's love, because you've been changed and you've been, and that orphan spirit has been uprooted from you, now the wealth of the nations is going to come to you. Now the love of the Father and the wealth, because benevolence is also wealth. It describes benevolence in this book right here as every king in the Old Testament operating in the wealth and building God's church. Amen. But God is not going to put that kind of wealth in your hands without his love flowing through you. He's not going to release with signs, miracles, wonders. He's not going to open this house and have this house filled like we want it to be filled unless we're operating in this benevolence and this God kind of love. And the only way to operate in this God kind of love is not doing it out of the flesh. It's not doing it out of the soul. It's not doing it out of our emotions because as I described last Wednesday, when you have a first love and when something's new, you jump into it and there's excitement and there's an energy, but that energy begins to fade away, and we have to have discipline to press in to keep pushing once all that begins to fade away. And John is saying that we have to release into the Father of lights. We have to release into the Father of love. And when we do that, he'll begin to fill us up. He'll begin to fill us up with his love and conquering us, conquering our soul, conquering our flesh, filling up our spirit, saturating all of our emotions, shifting our characteristic, amen, to where we look just like him. Amen. And verse 12 in 1 John 4, it says, no one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. See, his love has to be perfected in us. And what does that mean? We have to be complete. We have to be complete. That word perfected is to be complete in love. We have to allow the love of the Father to complete us. To complete us in perfected sonship. To complete us in the perfected oneness with the Father and the Lord himself. And so we have to go up into the presence of the Father every single day and allow that love just to uproot. And you got to ask for grace to shoot those roots so deep into Father's love so that you can understand how wide and how deep and how tall his love really is. And begin to call on the riches of the Lord. Amen. And get filled up with that grace. And get filled up with that glory. And you'll start seeing your characteristic change. You'll start seeing if you're one that deals with fear of people or the spirit of fear. If you're one that deals with anxiety like I used to deal with. Just releasing into the love of the Father, he'll deal with that. If he opens it up to you, just release it to him and watch him place that magnifying glass on it and watch, like David said, I seen my enemies flee. I seen my foes run. See, David was a king. He knew. He released it to the Lord, and the Lord came as his rescue and as his deliverer. And when he released it, whenever he said, I need help, here it is, the Lord delivered him, and he seen his enemies flee from him. See, we have to see our enemies. We have to see the anxiety and the fears of life and the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life. We have to see that flee from our lives as well. Amen. So premillating into the Father of lights. I want to help you, something that I've understood. Because I asked Pastor a couple of months ago, it could have been Pastor LaRue. I said, how? Because I've heard him tell testimonies how when somebody's up here or when he used to go to conferences, he used to connect to the mantle that person was carrying. Or he can tell if I'm up here or if Chuck is up here or if Tina's up here, where they're ministering from, if they're ministering from the glory realm, if they're ministering from this realm or from that realm. And I said, how do you connect like that? He says, Justin, I don't know really how to explain it to you, but you just have to be connected in the spirit. You just always have to stay connected and just release into wherever they are. And so in prayer, you have to stay focused. You have to be in a line because you can't be distracted when the Father is taking you into your future, when he's opening up your book. You can't be distracted because you pull yourself out. So I just want to, how I started practicing was coming in here and whenever we were in worship, just staying in worship and staying connected and just praying in tongues and just releasing the words of God, releasing and acknowledging the awareness of the angels and acknowledging the Father premillating with us and acknowledging the Lord walking around in the room, acknowledging his grace that he surrounds us with, acknowledging me abiding in the Lord because he is my high tower. And just awareness, just being aware constantly all the time that in during worship that you're in the spirit, and that'll help you when you walk up in a prayer line to stay connected like that to receive from the minister who's releasing the glory. And so that's what I was doing. And so I found myself every time I was so connected, LaRue would walk up to me and just lay hands on me, and whatever was on me, it just multiplied and almost fell over many times. And And so by doing that, it made me practice. And even at work, I would stay connected in the spirit, driving down the word, praying in tongues, acknowledging and just practicing the awareness of the Holy Spirit, the awareness of the angels, the awareness of the love of the Father, just always in tune and keeping the soul and keeping the flesh down, always allowing the spirit to rise up above both of them. Staying in a position of righteousness in one accord, amen? Because when you find yourself in Christ, in righteousness, in right standing, that means you're in a place where the spirit is in dominance, and the soul and the flesh is in obedience, and they're quiet, and they're not speaking to you. So everything you hear is straight from the spirit, amen? And so when you do that, when you begin to release into this atmosphere here, you find it easier when you go into the prayer, when you begin to release into the Father. And I've never, ever been able to release following LaRue in prayer just because I found myself distracted. I would lay down. I would lay down, and my soul and my flesh would conquer my spirit, because he says the soul, because the spirit is willing, but the soul is weak. And so when I lay down to follow somebody else leading me into the glory or leading me into the prayer, my flesh would overtake me and I would fall asleep, or I would get distracted, or my mind would race. I'd be thinking about everything else. But Tuesday, when I was in here yesterday, whenever LaRue was speaking, whenever he was praying, I had my own words. I had my own pathway. I wasn't saying what he was saying. I was saying the scriptures that was on my heart, follow him in. And I was standing up, because that's when I'm standing up, that means my spirit is in dominance and I'm ready and I'm focused and I'm in tune and I'm in alignment, and I released and followed him for the first time and actually helped him. I actually went forward. And so you intercessors, when you come on here on Tuesday and Friday, when you're following me or when you're following Pastor LaRue, when you're going in your pathway, go before him, plow into another area, release that glory, release that rim. That way, whenever he begins to move in there, he moves in there freely. Amen. And it increases and it multiplies and it's glorious. Amen. Pastor Chuck, you ready? Huh? No, I see you racing. No, but I was just saying it. So y'all intercessors, whenever y'all coming in here, just help us plow, help us intercede, because this is just a training ground. It's a preparation for the things to come. There's going to be prayer. There's going to be conferences everywhere. People are going to come in from all over the place, and we have to be ready as a body to come in and intercede and pray, because it's heavy when you're standing up here all by yourself. When you're carrying people, it's like everybody's on your shoulder and you're doing, and you're releasing all your energy trying to carry everybody in. But when there's other people in here interceding with you and pressing in with you, it's like on the wings of an eagle. You just soar up. And because of the corporate faith and because of the corporate anointing, you can go into places that you've never been in before, because it catapults you, amen, because there's a corporate faith in the house. So don't just come in here. It's good to come in here if you're learning and receiving and learning the pathway. Go home and practice it. That way when you come in here, you can help press in. And helping press in will just increase the corporate anointing. Amen? I'm done. That's all I got to say.
Amen. 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 There's a couple of things there that I wanted to touch on. One, yes, we have an opportunity when we come into a corporate situation. You can come in and you can just let everybody else go in front of you, or you can contribute and be out in front. Because if we'll all come in here and looking to be out in front, guess what happens? It explodes. The atmosphere is going to just shift. Everything is going to explode. Because why? Because otherwise you're waiting on a few people to carry everybody. But when everybody begins to make a contribution, how much more happens in the spirit? If one can put 1,000 to flight, 2,000 to 10,000 to flight, how much when everybody contributes to the operation that's going on? Because when we begin to all contribute, now all of a sudden we're putting more than 10,000. We're putting 10,000 times 10,000. And now all of a sudden there's just a shift. And everybody gets in on it. There's going to be times in the future here where there's just going to be spontaneous praise that just breaks out and you can catch it. And it'll just be like a wave, just like catching a wave at the beach. You just catch the wave and go with it. But then there are also going to be times where everything's just totally silent. Just a holiness, an awe that comes in and just touches and affects everything in the atmosphere. And I can tell you, you can find just as much more sanctification in that holiness than anything else. I've seen it happen a few times in my life, but I think the most poignant things that I've ever encountered were when that atmosphere, just a holy hush, stopped everybody. Yes, it did a couple of years ago. Yeah. Sometimes people, when a holy hush comes, then sometimes people feel compelled to say something or do something. If a holy hush happens, let it happen. Let it happen. And just push into God. Because as you push into God, thinking something's going to, we're saying these things because this is preparation. When I began to just pray on Sunday, and I just began to just release the things that I saw coming, what I was doing was preparing you so we can all be in agreement for what God's going to do. So we can all be in agreement about how and what to expect coming up. Do you know how fire happens? A piece of wood, when a piece of wood burns, do you know why it burns? It's dry, yes. Oxygen, yes. Combustion, yes. What actually happens is you heat the piece of wood. And the heat on the piece of wood causes it to release gases. And those gases are what's burning. It's not the wood. The wood's not burning. It's the gases that are above the wood. So it looks like the fire is on the wood. But the fire, if you look, every fire will always be separated. It'll be just above whatever's actually burning and being consumed. So there's always just a little layer in there. But here's the point. It's consumed because something inside is released. It's consumed because something inside is released. We have a fire. We have the opportunity for a fire in our life. Why? Because there's something in us that's being released, and that gets consumed. And as we get to let it be consumed, now there's a fire that happens, and that fire is hot enough now that it begins to affect the one next to you. And as it affects someone next to you, that fire begins to affect the one next and the one next until everyone is consumed. Why? Because there's something in you that you allowed to be consumed. There's something in you you allowed to be released and maybe even expelled, and so that it gets out there and so that God can consume it with His holiness, with His fire. Because as you know, this is a week. This week is the week that they call the 10 days. It's the week following the Rosh Hashanah, and it's the 10 days of awe. We're in the middle of the 10 days of awe here. And those 10 days of awe are a time of reflection, introspection, looking inside, and allowing God to do something with what's inside. Allowing Him to do something and allowing Him to come and bring, in some cases, restoration. Some cases there's alignment. Actually, Sunday. Sunday, I believe. Might be Saturday. But yeah, the Day of Atonement's this weekend. But that introspection and that alignment that comes, and what so there may be some things that are happening. There may be this week. I know that there's this week that there's things that have been bubbling forth in some people. And maybe you're one of those. Know that that's just part of the process. No, that's actually a good thing. It just means you're in season. There might be something bubbling forth. It's in season. Now, if it's bubbling forth and it's ugly towards your neighbor, you need to probably deal with it. But, hello? If it, never mind, I won't go there. Hallelujah. But if it, but what I'm saying is that there's a time and a season. Why? Because what? Because this is a time when we're starting to get the interactions between one another correct. Because see, on the Day of Atonement, that's a day for getting the interactions here correct with our Heavenly Father. And so this week, there's a time to set all the other oughts aside and to begin to gather in and say, whatever it is, whatever's in me that needs to be forgiven, whatever's in me that needs to be released, whatever's in me that was not in alignment with Him, I need to release those things. I need to address those things and allow God to come and minister to my heart until it's free. This began in me because he was just talking to me about the restoration of innocence. Because see, a lot of times when you've been walking with God for a while, there's things that happen that cause us to be a little jaded sometimes. There's things that can come and they cause you to get a little calloused. Not y'all, just me, I'm sure. It doesn't happen to y'all. But there's things that come into your life, but the deal is that if you'll continually lift them up to Jesus, then they'll get resolved. But if you just hold on to it, it doesn't matter. You know, sometimes it's not even just one particular event, but it's just a whole series and sequence of events that the enemy intends to steal from you with. And so you look at, and you have all these, I used Les's word there. So you always say look it. But if you'll look and you'll see that you have this series of events that are going on, and they all have one intention, which is to steal your place with God. That's when we can recognize, when we recognize that that's going on. It only takes a moment then to begin to say, Lord, consume this. Lord, I want that fire that was in my life. So consume this, whatever it is. Consume it. Whatever this thing is that doesn't look like you, Lord, I just need it to be consumed. Lord, I didn't intend for something to be happening over here, but it happened. Lord, just consume it. I didn't intend for this thing to be an offense, but I offended. So let's consume it. Lord, I took an offense because somebody said something mean to me. Did you know what Carlos said to me? Consume it. Consume it. Consume Carlos too. But he'll be in agreement, so hallelujah. But same thing is that we, whatever it is, you let God consume. This is a week and a time of preparation, because though those preparations that you do, the more that we work on these, the more that we let these things be dealt with, so that there's no differences between us, there's no issues between us and those around us, then the other thing you can start letting loose of whatever has been put in your heart that didn't line up with Him. Because why? Because now you're ready to meet your Maker in a new way. It doesn't have to be the final week. I want every day to be a day when I'm meeting my Maker. I want every day to be a day when I can be encountering Him and be in the middle of His holiness, be in the middle of His righteousness. But what the thing is that a lot of times it's the little things that get in the way. We look at it as if it's only big sin issues that cause us problems, but a lot of times it's the little things that cause me to be distracted. Little things cause us to be distracted. Hello? Hey. little things cause us to be distracted. And when we get distracted with little things, then all of a sudden we look up and it's been 6 months, it's been a year since we encountered God. All because we didn't deal with it as it came up. All because we didn't surrender it when we began to see it. You can't be expected to deal with something you don't know is there yet. But as soon as you know it's there, bring it down. Bring it on. What's that? That's hilarious. That's an inside joke, but that's hilarious. Sometimes God can put some things in front of you that you've made into an idol. Do you know even your own work can be an idol? I do. I'm just being honest with you. Just your own effort can become an idol. Oh, that settled off really well, didn't it? I stepped on everybody's toes and I wasn't even trying yet. Ephesians 2 and 10 says this: "For we are his craftsmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." In other words, his book that he's prepared, he's already written out the works that you're going to do. He's already got it out in front of you. It's already, when we begin to come up and we do something for our neighbor, we do something for our friend, we do something for some lost sinner, it's already been written. It's already put out there. God's already knowing what you're going to do. It's just us to come alongside him and do it. It's us to come alongside, walk in concert and in tandem with him. But see, this word here, good, it translates like this: benevolent, profitable, useful. See, those works, maybe those works sometimes are just an act of benevolence. It's an act of goodness. Sometimes it's an act of being profitable, not just for yourself, but for the kingdom. And it's always going to be useful. It's always going to be useful to the kingdom. Not everything that happens is always going to be the easiest. Sometimes we're called to do something and it's not the easiest thing to do. It's not always convenient. But at the same time, it will always bring fruitfulness. When you make one of those steps, it brings fruitfulness. It brings fruitfulness. I was just listening to a podcast today, and I don't know what's going to become of all this, but basically, as I listened to the podcast, there was a person's voice came on the podcast, but they weren't the speaker or anything. And I just began to hear what the Lord wanted for them. So I wrote the ministry and said the words. I said, I know this is pretty random, but such and such has got this going on, and I want him to know. You know, you just release whatever God's putting in your heart. But I can tell you, I began to experience a pleasure just in the simple obedience. Even though it felt a little awkward to write to some ministry that I don't know and they don't know me. And they replied immediately, "I'll get this word to him. I'll get it to him." See, whatever it is that God is putting in your heart, you know, do you realize that every one of you is apostle, prophet, priest? Every one of you has some function, some portion of the fivefold in you. We're all in this together. So you can't just write it off and say, well, it's up to Cody to do all the evangelism because Cody's the evangelist. No, every one of us has something, some of this area in you. Every one of us has something of a prophet in you. You may not be called to the office of the prophet, but there's a prophet in you. And when you begin to realize that I'm here, and Lord, I'm just here to let you make use of me, whatever it takes. Whatever that is. Walking in simple obedience will make all the difference to your enjoyment and your fruitfulness. Because when you walk in simple obedience, that simple obedience will result in the kingdom being glorified. And particularly since it's not necessarily your call, your ministry, when you do it, you'll experience the fruitfulness of it. I've enjoyed, you know, when I worked with Sharon, she would, you know, you couldn't go to lunch without her getting somebody saved. Everywhere that we go, when we were walking in, there'd be somebody walking out, and she was like, excuse me. And it was fun. It was kind of fun to watch that. Okay, that's not my personality, but it was fun to watch her and just be a part of that. I'm more like when, you know, the Lord says, he'll just show me something about somebody and said, now I want you to go tell them. and now when I come to tell you like that, it's usually not the funnest one that you're going to ever hear. But it can be. Depends on what your heart is to receive. It can be depending on what your heart is to do and to give. We're all here to give. With that, we're going to take a second offering. Yay! There you go. Excitement. Yes. Now, we're all here to give because you have something inside of you. The kingdom was not ever intended to just be a free walk. Hello? Hello? Sometimes we got the idea that we can just show up on Sunday, somebody will entertain us, and then we can get to go home and we're all good. No, the kingdom is 24/7, and it's something that's going to interact with you. It's something that's going to fulfill you. It's something that's going to bring life into you. But even as it's bringing life into you, there's an expectation that you're releasing the life somewhere else. And as we come together for that purpose, we come together to breathe and release life on one another and with one another. Now, all of a sudden, there's a corporate anointing that just breaks forth. It's awesome to be teaching on the 10 days of awe. See, I just get to stomp all over your feet, and it's good. Hallelujah. Stomp. Do you know what your process really is this week? Surrender is good. It's actually releasing, allowing God to bring forth the true image that's in you. His true image that's in you. And now you're going to expect me to repeat it? Allowing God. Yeah. Allowing God to bring forth the true image in you. See, because along the way in your life, things have happened, and those things have disturbed the true image. There was a time, and I'm going to just be real. There was a time where I was molested, and see, that disturbed the true image within me. It disturbed the true image of God, because see, what it then I began trying to compensate for this thing that had taken place. I began to spend all my effort trying to compensate over here for things that had happened over here. And the only reason I needed to compensate was because I allowed this thing to tell me something about myself that wasn't true. Because I had nothing to do with this action that happened over here. But as long as I kept acting like it, I was changing my own destiny without even realizing it. I was putting myself and others in danger because of something that happened over here, and I'm trying to compensate over here. Yeah. Because, see, when this occurred, then why? My response was just to prove that how much I'm not that. And no matter how much I tried to balance it over here, no matter how hard I tried to balance it on the other side of things, it never actually restores this. The only thing that restores this is letting God have it. And when I began to recognize, and because I finally recognized that the need and let God have it. Let's see, I'm probably 15 years ago now. I let him have it. And it changed a lot of things instantly. But see, some of the compensations I was still doing. I found myself doing compensations even this week. That's how God brought it to my attention. It was a compensation. It was another compensation. I was like, this is related to that? And I began to understand that all my life I had been doing these compensations, and all I'm really trying to do is get back to the original image that's supposed to be there. So you don't have to wait 15 years to figure that out. You don't have to wait for 15 years, or you don't have to, in my case, it was like 30 years after, no. Yeah, it was 30, 40 years after the event before I got around to dealing with it. You don't have to wait that long. Deal with it right now, this week. Let God bring those things up that need to be dealt with, whatever it is. This week, we allow him to bring him up. Why? Because on the other side of this is freedom. On the other side of this is wholeness. On the other side of this is purity. On the other side of this is a greater relationship with my Father. You guys could sense the difference between me this Sunday and even the previous Sunday. Why? Because I've been letting him purify these things. I'm letting him bring it up, and then he takes it. He brings it up, and then he takes it. And you know, when you do this in the presence of God, when you do this in the presence of a Father, it's actually pretty simple and pretty beautiful. It's not something that's going to, you know, we've all seen pictures of deliverance where it, you know, it doesn't have to be that way. You know, the deliverance where people are puking and you're getting stretched out and pulled out and everything else. It doesn't have to be that way. The renewal of innocence, that's good. Just stay right there. That's good. Just stay right there. Because it doesn't have to be like that. Because with your Father, he just says, hand it to me. Here, let me speak to you. Let me speak to you about the true image, the image that I put in you, that I've called you to glory. I've called you to my favor. I've called you and placed my heart in you. When he begins to speak your true image, the other thing is just go away. I don't have a need for it anymore. I don't have to compensate anymore because I don't, this thing's all, it's done. Amen? Amen. So we've got benevolence down, and we've got a little bit of salvation going on, huh? Okay, there's only five more to do, so hallelujah. I'm totally fascinated with our God. A God who loves us so much, so completely. Who is head over heels for you. Who is well intended to you. Who is always extending his hand to us. He's looking for us simply to just begin a process of trust. That's what this week is about. When we yield stuff over, surrender to him, It's just a process of trust, learning to trust him. And the more that you give him, the more that he'll do good with it, then it causes you to be able to trust and give more again. Know that he loves you. And know that if you get stuck on something, we love you and we'll help you. All right? All right, that's good for today. All right, God bless you.